everyone, and welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I am so excited to get started with this new season of the podcast. There is a somewhat new setup. We are using a new platform, Riverside. More about that later. But I wanted to share a little bit about the guest that we're going to have today. Her name is Chandra Douglas, and I am going to tell you a little bit about her. Chandra and I are in Leadership Allen together. She is an amazing leadership professional. I'm going to read you a little bit about her. She is a transformative learning development leader with over 15 years experience designing and executing strategies that cultivate talent, enhance organizational performance, and drive measurable business outcomes. Her success stems from her ability to align leadership development, operational excellence, and cultural transformation with organizational goals, enabling teams to unlock their full potential. There is so much more about her. I could go on and on. She is an innovative learning and developmental professional known for spearheading leadership initiatives, creating collaborative cultures, and delivering transformative solutions that inspire growth and success. Her combination of unique strategy, insight, operational expertise, and passion for empowering individuals and teams consistently exceeds expectations through tailored programs and impactful facilitation. Today, we're going to have a conversation with her about her experience in the professional space and what that has looked like for her as a woman of color. Given our current political climate, I thought it was a really good topic of conversation because I feel like there will be a plethora of women out there like her who are looking to start their careers. And I think the advice that she's going to be able to give us today is going to be very helpful to those women out there, because women are minorities as well, or they are women of color. How can we navigate this professional space? And as a leadership professional, she's going to give us some insight, having worked in this industry, being as innovative as she is. She's going to share with us some tips and techniques and some strategies that maybe you can use as someone who is interested in being in a leadership space or just looking to lead in your area of expertise. So let's welcome Chandra Douglas to the podcast.
A lot of times we're the smartest in the room, but you can't, like you said, you feel a certain kind of way about showing that. Right. And yes, that's something that we need to get rid of, that whole idea, because we need just own who we are and operate in that space confidently.
And I think that the reason why we carry that, I don't want to call it baggage, but it is, right, is because our parents have told us to dot your I's, cross your T's, leave it alone.
Yes.
Right. And so because of that, what if I don't want to dot my I today because I don't agree with that? And I know there's a better solution in making it, let's make it a capital I, not a lowercase I, right? But our parents have sometimes taught us, dot your I's, cross your T's, don't show yourself. And so because we have been, that has been embedded in who we are in our history, right? We don't know when we go into corporate America that there's times when we need to say, that lowercase I needs to be capital.
Love that visual, because that dot an I and cross a T has the lowercase connotation. Yeah. We are capital people.
We are.
And we need to put the dot, the cross at the top of that I and the bottom of that I and make it capital and stand out. And we need to cross that T and make it capital because we can. We are capable. And that's part of what I want to talk to you about today when we get down to some of these other questions. Like, what can we do? Don't answer it now. But I want you all to stay tuned towards the end of this interview, because one of the questions is about how can we set ourselves up to be the capitals. And I really want to get to that. I love that idea of understanding that. So when you look at our Caucasian counterparts, you see that they receive 50% more callbacks than African Americans. Okay, I know you feel like this has happened to you, so I don't even have to answer that question. But the next question that I really want to dive into is, should we be seeking employment from our own companies and organizations first and building them up, especially given this current climate? I think us as minorities and women-owned businesses, maybe if we put a little more energy into our own, and working with one another, collaborating and partnering, we can build up sort of an industry where we don't necessarily have to worry about some of these spaces. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think I would flip that question. Are those organizations looking to hire Black? Because of the fact that when we, if I were to tell someone who is on a move to looking for a career, right? And if I would say, hey, I need you to focus on underserved communities, right? That has Black owned businesses in it that need your help. The question is not necessarily redirecting a potential candidate to them. It is, will that organization be willing to hire them on? And a lot of times, the reality is that even though it's a Black-owned business, and I'm not trying to tread my waters, but I want to be very transparent. You hear the kitchen table talk of, I don't know if I wanted to work with my people because Facts. They don't get things done, right? They don't know how to listen. They have too many issues, you know, or I would rather hire an agency to find somebody because I don't want to feel like dealing with having someone's bring to the office, right? So I think that it's not necessarily directing or redirecting a candidate to apply to a Black-owned business. Is how can we empower the Black-owned businesses to invest in training, to invest in professional development, to invest in areas where we want to uplift and encourage and develop people to be the best employee versus looking for that best employee that might not understand where your business needs to go or how your business needs to scale. Because when you think of a Black-owned business, you know that your audience is Black. Not only that, you know, your audience is Black, how do I scale that and make sure that I keep a great customer base that is predominantly Black? A Caucasian person working for you may not understand why a Black person wants to purchase your product, right? But if you have a Black person who is your VP of sales, they will know, okay, these are the things we need to do to make sure that we reach our community, that we provide a skincare product that will help the Black community. So I think it kind of goes both ways. Now, when it comes to looking for work and callbacks to your original question, I think there's a false sense of security in that. And when I say that, I think that too many candidates who are Black are afraid to go for the roles that they deserve to be in. So they decide to apply for roles that they feel like that my name on my resume
is more palatable.
Right. Me filling out the EEOC form on the application saying that I'm Black, that they will hire me versus applying for a position where you deserve to be a senior manager or you deserve to be a director, right? You are trying to be the judge and jury for that hiring manager. And we're not asking you to be the judge and jury for them. We're asking you to put yourself out there, own that space, own who you are authentically, and then pray on it and know that God is going to give you a position where you belong.
I agree. I agree with everything you just said. I want to dial it back a bit and go back to that question, that answer that you gave with respect to us as a people, the kitchen table talk, as you referenced it, you know, oh, you want to deal with us, that type of thing. That is really the heart of why I wanted to talk about this season, because we have to up our game and we have to change our mindset in order to succeed in this current climate. We have to come off of that. But in order for us to come off of that, we also have to step up our game, and we can't be mediocre. We can't do things just to get by. We can't do just enough. We do have to come as our Black excellence selves. We have to show up the buying power that we have. We have to show up as the most intelligent person in the room and own it and not be afraid of it. And then on the flip side of that, the owner of the company, the Black owner of the company, they can't be intimidated by that knowledge and that education and that level of smarts. We have to look at it for what it is, an opportunity for, like you said, to scale our businesses. It's okay that someone else in the room is smarter than us. As long as that person is on our side, they'll take us up with them. But I think, again, this idea of constantly evolving and being open to failures, which is what this whole podcast is about, plays into this idea. We as a culture, Black, brown, minority, women, the people who have been disenfranchised in this company, in this country, we have to start saying to ourselves, okay, I need to up my game. I'm going to look at me. I'm going to fix me. And I'm going to make sure I'm the best possible version of myself. So when I show up in whatever room,
yeah,
I'm going to shine. I'm going to be noticed. I'm going to be credible. My expertise is going to lead for me. And it doesn't matter what I look like. And if it does matter what I look like to the other person, that's their problem. It's not mine. Because I'm going to go after the things that I want to go after. To your other point, whereas we can't minimize ourselves or shrink ourselves for positions that we are deserving of. If you are a leader, if you are a senior level leader, and you know you can do the job much better than what you are seeing being done, go after it.
Go after it.
But you have to own the value that you have, which means you've got to figure out what that value is, right? Initially, you can't just walk into the room afraid or nervous or with a lack of confidence. You need to own it.
Yeah. But, and I would also add to that is that you have to invest in yourself.
Yes.
I think that sometimes the opportunities that the Black community has is that we are not telling each other to invest in ourselves. Other communities do it. They invest in themselves. Why don't we invest in ourselves? And when I say invest in ourselves, it's if you want to be a director of a global organization and you know that you are required to have skills A, B, C, or D, go find out how you can get those skills. Go
absolutely.
Do not depend on the company to hire you based off of, because sometimes I hear, well, you're going to provide training for me. So I may provide training for you, but I want you to invest in you, who you are, in yourself, so you can take what you've learned, not just to this organization, but to other organizations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I think that sometimes, especially in my space, where I'm doing business strategies for growth, investing in or paying for something. That's really what it boils down to, right? You have to pay for the programs. Maybe you need to go take classes. Maybe you need to invest in that certification training and pay for it. Maybe you need to hire a coach or something that can help you with your mindset and things. We are not, as a people, used to doing that, or right. No one's really telling us to do that. But that is really what I am seeing to be necessary in order for us to get to the level that we want to get to. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore and think that just because, and I'm just going to say this, it's going to probably make some people mad, but sometimes I think we think we're going to get it just because we're the darkest person in the room. Like, oh, they need some minorities. They're going to hire me. No. Get your credentials together.
Right.
So that the last thing they're thinking about is what color you are.
Yes,
where you come from. Make your resume so undeniably amazing that the only thing they can say is, oh my God, I had absolutely no, I mean, that didn't even come into play, because you were absolutely hands down, cut above the rest, better than everybody else. And we just wanted you. But again, what has to go along with that resume, that CV, is your attitude, is your mindset. And the mindset speaks to what you just said. When you say you really have to do the work and do the things like educate yourself or do the certification, whatever it is to prepare yourself, we have to also recognize that in order to do that, we have to really think about, how am I going to show up as my best self? How is this going to benefit my climb, my goals, all of my things? And it can't just be about the job, but it has to be making yourself better, 100%. Be the right. best version of yourself that you can possibly be. I could go on and on about that, because it's a thing, because it happens in my space a lot, where I'm saying, okay, you can get to this next level, but you have to be willing to put in the work. You've got to be willing to do the thing. Like, what you're doing is not going to scale you. It's going to keep you where you are, but you keep telling me you want to go here, but what you're doing is going to keep you here. So what are we going to do different to get a different result? We got to think along those lines.
Yeah, you can't help those that don't want to help themselves.
You can't. But I really want this season to open some eyes and to fuel some people, like light a fire under people to start doing what we're talking about. So let's move on. So how would you describe the corporate climate when you initially started your career? And do you think it has changed for the better, for the worse? I don't want to answer for you, but
I think I know. I would say when I started my corporate career 25 years ago, it was easy, because I was coming in as an assistant. It was easy. It got more challenging when I got higher up in my position in my career. When I start my first director position, that was not a challenge, but I asked myself, do I belong here? Do I belong?
That's where the imposter syndrome started to come in.
Right. Because I was challenged by my peers on some of the decisions that I made, but I will tell you, I had the most amazing mentor. I mean, he's still my mentor to this day, and he actually helped me through that transition, right? Of being a first-time director, first-time senior manager, right? Then I moved on and became vice president of operations and marketing. And it got harder. Mm-hmm. Why did it get harder? Because I'm sitting in a space that people don't believe belong to me because I am Black, right? And so that was a challenge. Then I moved into head of leadership and development. That is another high level position. And in that sense, that was challenging. Why was that challenging? Because I am the only Black African-American leader in the organization that people felt comfortable coming to. And some people didn't feel like, why are you going to Chan, right? Why aren't you going to other people? So I think there's just some challenges there in your leveling up. And you have to be able to hold down your feelings. You have to be strong. You cannot let imposter syndrome get you, but you also have to understand your worth.
Yes.
And so what made me get through all of those challenges was I know who I am. I know my worth, and I'm not going to allow you to tell me anything differently. I can control the narrative. I will control the narrative. I will show you that I can get the work done. I will show you that my goal is to develop people, develop others, make others seen and belonging. That is my focus. That is my purpose, along with making sure that my metrics are met, because I'm not going to just look at what I know I can do, but the organization hired me for a reason. So when you are hired, you don't just look at what your personal goals are. You got to make sure you reach the company's goals, right? Because that's the only way you're keeping a paycheck and you're feeding your family. As someone who, no matter if you are entry level position coming into corporate America, or you are a senior level position coming into corporate America, the goal is still there. And when I say the goal is still there, the goal is to still be who you are, to still go after your personal goals. But the goal is also to make sure that you are a benefit to that organization.
Yes.
Never want that organization to think that you are a waste of space.
Yeah.
Never want them to think that. You are a benefit to them. You are the reason why that their numbers have gone up higher. You are the reason why people love coming into the office. You are the reason why, like, you have to give them the opportunity to understand who you are, why they hired you, and then show yourself as to why you belong there.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that you said was that I really want to push, like really lift up, is the idea of that alignment with who you are and what the company needs, and making sure that you're toeing the line on both. And like you said, being that asset and understanding what you're bringing to the table. I have to say, my husband is that person on his job. He is like, he has made the department that he works in the most profitable in the company. And it's really his baby. Like, nobody can look at that department and say that he had help. Like, he built it up, and he's been praised for it, but he works really hard at it. He's really good at what he does. And that is the key, is knowing, like you said, what is your value? What is your worth? Yeah. How do you now apply that to the goals of the company in an authentic way? Because that's the only way you'll be able to sustain it. If you are doing it from an authentic place and your actions are authentic for what it is you're trying to do to help the company. And that said, it kind of takes us back to the idea of really understanding your worth, your value, and doing the work to get that down before you walk in the door. For you, you know, making sure the idea of people wanting to come to work and you being someone that they can come to and confide in and all of that, that comes from your innate personality. That's who you are. That's what you want. You figured that out for yourself. That may not be the same for everyone, but we have to find out for ourselves what that looks like. You might be the quiet person in the corner that someone knows if they email you, you're going to get it done regardless. You may not be the life of the party, but you are the most effective person in that company. And they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you are given a task, you are tenacious enough and you are going to get it done. That all is dependent on who you are as a person, your personality, and the value that you are bringing to the table, the alignment that you are bringing to your organization. that is going to help people see that in you. And that's going to be what you are identified as on your job. So you're absolutely right. You got to be that one and not the two for whatever it is, your strengths and your value is for that company.
Yeah. When I coach and mentor young professionals, I say you have two choices. You either are someone who is dependable or you are a liability. What do you want to be? Because you don't want to be a liability to the point where they regret that they hired you. But you do want to be that person that is dependable, that they can trust, that they know that work can get done. Not the fact that they, now I'm not saying take advantage of you. I'm not saying that because you do have managers that do that. But are you the person that they can depend on, even if you are the quiet person in the room, like you said, and you get that email? I know if I send Andrea an email, she's going to take care of it, right? And so the opportunity you have there is to be the most amazing rock star for the organization. And being a rock star may not mean a promotion today, but you are building up, you're making yourself marketable.
Yes.
To be that rock star future for another organization that now, since you were a customer service rep, now you are the manager of the customer service team because you've been able to garner all of that experience.
And respect from the peers.
Correct. And now you know exactly what needs to get done. So the question is, can you be dependable or are you going to be a liability?
I love that. And you know, the go-to guy, when you were saying that, that's what I was thinking. How can you become the go-to guy? What are people going to think of you as the go-to guy for, or the go-to girl for? And that stems from your passion, your experience, what it is you want to be known for, which also goes back to just really knowing where your value lies within that company. But if you become that go-to for that thing, that will help people to see you as this expert in this area, and they'll be the, and you'll be the better for it in your career because people will know you for that thing. That's awesome. Yeah. So question about being a Black female in your organizations where you've worked before, what would you say? Would it be what you just kind of described as like your climb and sort of the difficulties as you climbed your corporate ladder? What would you say would be the most challenging obstacle that you've had to endure?
Being a Black woman.
Well, we can't change that at this point.
We can't change that, right? We sometimes have to work harder than the next person.
It's not sometimes. We could be honest. It's all the time, because it's not even just our, it's not even ability. It's our attitude. We can't get mad, because then we are the aggressive Black woman. We can't speak in a monotone because we are being passive aggressive, or we are being too aggressive, or we're just being whatever. So it's this fine line. Do we need to still worry about that? Like, should we in this time?
Yes. We do. And if coming from a professional environment, it's important to understand your environment and your audience. It's also important to build relationship equity. That is what has gotten me through all of my career, is building relationship equity. And for your viewers that are watching, relationship equity is being able to have conversations with team members, with your managers, your supervisors, building relationship, not just within the confines of the four walls of the organization. Get to know who they are. And the reason why I say get to know who they are, because everyone has a story, regardless of what color, creed, strength, experience you have, everyone has a story. So understanding who they are and building that relationship equity makes conversation much easier, and it makes the tough decisions much easier. And so that's what has happened with me, is that I've been able to build that relationship equity with all of the executives above me and the leaders below me. And I've been able to understand that if someone walks in a room that have a certain look, I understand how they're feeling. One other thing I've learned is that I don't always have to have a say-so in the room, because there's times where it will sort itself out. Now, we know that our beautiful Black women can be very opinionated. We can be very opinionated. But if we know how to hold our tongue, and I say hold our tongue in a sense of not letting somebody hang themselves, because that's what we call it in corporate America, right? Not letting somebody fail, but understanding, where can I assist this person in the time that they need to be assisted? I don't need to be the firefighter to rescue them right now. And sometimes when it comes off as us being the firefighter, we're trying to control it. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to handle it and we're trying to fix it. What I've learned is patience is key. What I've learned is listening is the biggest thing that I have, because a lot, and observing, because I like to look at body language. Mm-hmm. Body language tells me a lot about a person. And so that is what has helped me in the environment that I'm in. And I would say, still stick with that. You are the most brilliant person in that room and you know it. Don't let anyone discredit you for that, but also be observant at what the environment is telling you to be. And I'm not saying conform to that environment, just be aware. Mm-hmm. Be aware, because if you can be aware, then when it comes down to making a decision, your voice has power. If you're always speaking and you're always trying to fix the problem and you're always trying to, it's all,
you dilute the power.
You lose that power. But if you are that person in the boardroom sitting down and you are observing, you are listening, you are coming up with a plan, when it is time for you to speak, your words will have weight. Absolutely. And when your words will have weight, then they know. Because what will happen, what I've noticed then for me personally, is that sitting in boardrooms, when I don't say anything, Chan, you have anything to say? Because they know my words have weight.
Right.
They
right.
know I'm not just going to go off and go off of my feelings, go make a decision off of intangibles. They know that's not who I am. So when I am called on, yeah, I have a few things to say. And when I say, they listen, because my words have weight, because I am not jumping to be the problem solver. I'm right. not jumping to shine. I'm just not that person. Yeah. And I think that in this climate, who we are, you don't have to be that person. You are brilliant within yourself. You are placed in the boardroom or at the table for a reason.
Yes. I think what you described is two things. Emotional intelligence. I think it's important for you to really have a high EQ in this right. area, because what you're saying is very, very true. In my program, Project CEO, I talk about what I call managing the volume of your personality. Like you said, you're not trying to be someone you're not. You're not trying to like fake it, you know, until you make it. You're being yourself, but you know yourself well enough to know how to dial yourself down when it's necessary or to dial yourself up. So those two hand in hand, your emotional intelligence and your personality, managing the volume of your personality, will work to what you just said. And you're right. You don't have to always speak. You and I are in this leadership program together. And there are times when, I don't know about you, but I'm screaming on the inside because I want to say something. But it's like, you know what? It's not going to benefit the conversation. So right. it's no point in saying it. You can think it and keep it to yourself, but it's no point in saying it. But then there are times where what I want to say holds some weight, and it's worth saying. It's worth using my words and voicing my opinion on. But again, it's knowing when to do that and when not to do that. And like you said, doing it too much, talking too much, and having too many opinions dilutes your opinion when they really count. I love that. I love that. So when you think about this climate that we're in, would you say that the points that you just made, or do you have any other tips or things that you could give us, advice that you would give us, or any recent graduates, maybe people who are just now entering the workforce? Would you give us a few more tips and ideas?
Definitely. I would say the first thing we spoke about, and I'm going to always stick to it, know your worth and don't shrink yourself, right? Corporate spaces may try to mold you, but, and especially now, right? They will try to put you in a box, and I don't want you to be put in a box. You belong. There's one, the last organization I worked for, there was one reference that they use, and I love it. And it says that everyone belongs on the bus, but what seat do you belong? Find the right seat, right? Because the magic happens when you show up for yourself, but not just yourself, your full self, right? So know your worth, don't shrink. The next thing is find your people. And when I say find your people, find your community. Get a mentor. A mentor is the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I had a mentor from the time I was an executive assistant 25 years ago. He has been with me to the point where every career decision I've had to make, he was part of that decision. And he has grown me and he has challenged me to get to the place where I am now. He is really well known in the HR space in the Dallas area. So I can go to him for any questions that I have. What I love about a mentor is that they are not your friends. Mentorship is not friendship.
Right.
Mentorship is to help grow you. And so find your community, find that mentor, find a trusted person that you can talk to, and that does not always have to be someone in your company. You don't always have to go to someone within the organization, because a lot of times that's a biased opinion. You need an unbiased opinion. You need someone who has been in the space you're trying to be in and go there, right? The one thing that I have, another thing I have even told my children is, and this is a tip I would give your viewers, is play the game. Don't lose yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't lose yourself in this. When I say play the game, read the room, learn the politics of the company, navigate smarter. Understand all of that, right? But never, and I repeat, never at the expense of your own purpose. Mm-hmm. Know the game. I understand the game. I know how to play the game. And when I say a game, I know the company's politics. I know who I can talk to, who I shouldn't talk to. I know, you know, what it takes for me to grow in one area and what does not. You can silently observe and look to see, how does someone get to where they are, and what can I do to invest in myself, right? So play it, but don't lose yourself in it. Another thing I would say is, while you're navigating corporate America, document everything. And when I say everything,
yes,
document your wins, document your opportunities, document your feedback, document. And I'm not saying document to hold it against someone. Document it to grow you. It's almost like journaling for corporate America.
But you also have to admit, sometimes the documentation is going to save your behind. So keep that in mind as well. Like you said, don't use it as a weapon, but have it as a tool.
As a tool. And what I have told a lot of the young professionals is, when you document, don't document in strife. Don't do that. Because when you, in your mind, if I start documenting in strife, that's the only time I'm going to start documenting. But what about the wins you had last week? Can you talk to me about the wins you had? Because you may not think you're not moving along in corporate America, because all you're concerned is what you didn't get, what didn't happen to you, someone, how someone said something to you. So you start documenting all of those out of strife versus documenting things out of strength.
I love that.
Do this, right? I was able to overcome this. I had a challenge today, and this is how I attacked it. You know, I had an employee come to me about something, and I was able to help them. When you're navigating corporate, the corporate waters, celebrate yourself, document your wins.
Because those can become templates for future jobs. If, like, correct. I love that example you just gave. This win, this person came to me and I solved this problem this way. Well, that situation might come around in a different company. And now you've got a template for how to handle it.
How to handle it. And then the last tip I would give your viewers is, keep evolving outside the 9-to-5 job.
Yes.
Keep evolving. Don't just be stuck. Get you a side hustle. Find a creative outlet. Do something that allows you to grow your experience, grow your skills, grow your brand, right? Mm-hmm. Continue doing it. Don't just let you clocking in and out be who you are for the day.
I love that. I love that. That is amazing. And before I go, we talked about this at the top of the podcast, and I really want to get to it before we leave. I know we've been on for a while, but I've enjoyed the conversation. Oh my gosh. I don't even want to let you go, because I mean, we could just keep going on and on. So you'll just have to come back. But I talked about this early on, and I talked about the idea of, how can we show up as the best possible candidate for the position. In this series, this season of the podcast, I really want to provide our listeners with some solid tips to be successful despite circumstances that they might be going through. And I believe that it's important for us to not leave anything to chance. So my question is, as a leadership professional, what advice would you give to better prepare someone to be the best candidate for the job?
Number one, master the role before you have it.
Ooh.
Master the role before you have it. I know if you've heard the old adage of dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yes.
Same thing. Master the role before you have it. It's important to understand what that is. If you're going into a job interview, make sure you've read that job description. Make sure you read it like it's a blueprint. Prepare yourself. Know the industry. Know the company's goals. Know what their pain points are. Walk into this interview mastering the role before you have it. The next one I would say is own the intangibles. And what the intangibles are is own the skills that you have. Skills that get your foot in the door, but like you mentioned, emotional intelligence, leadership presence, adaptability, those will seal the deal. Make sure that you own those intangibles, because in your mind, you can say, I've met all the qualifications in the job description, but I have to tell you now, the way that corporate America is finding candidates is not just by the skills and the experience, because I can train, but do you fit our culture? Do you fit our culture? Because I can train you on the job. Do you fit our culture? And if you fit our culture, if you understand emotional intelligence, if you have a leadership presence, if you can be adaptable to the change that this organization might have, are you going, if we make a change within a process that you have to deal with, are you able to adapt to that? Or are you going to shrink back and complain because something happened? So own those intangibles. Skills get you in the door, but can you fit our culture?
I love that.
Another thing for candidates is stay two steps ahead. Come with ideas, not just answers. I tell my team all the time, don't come to me to complain if you don't have a response or a solution.
Be a part of the solution, not the problem.
That's correct. Because if you're complaining, then that means you agree with what that complaint was. But if you come to me and say, hey, this is a challenge that we're having as a team, this is an opportunity that I see, I need you to come with a solution. So as a candidate applying for a position, when you are owning, again, back to the owning the tangibles, and you're learning the company and you're learning the pain points, go and look and see what information, LinkedIn, Glassdoor. When Glassdoor is the best place to go to get company reviews. Go look at those company reviews and see where those pain points are for that organization. And then come to the interview two steps ahead and say, and provide a plan. They may take your plan, that's okay, but they see that you are, will be a benefit to their organization.
Take initiative.
Take the initiative. And then the last one, which I know is true to your heart, is build your brand before the interview. Your online presence matters.
Oh my gosh. Will you say that one again? Because people do not believe, some of these people hiring are looking at your online presence to see if you're the person you say you are. Because you can fake it in the interview, but your real life is going to show on social media.
Your real life is going to show. And this is the thing for those who are looking for leadership positions. And I say leadership, if you're looking at a managerial position or above, check yourself when you look at your Instagram.
Or if you have aspirations to be, even if you're coming in entry level, but your aspiration is to be. Oftentimes people are looking at those entry level positions as the feeders for these managerial positions.
That's correct. Because one thing that I have learned is that the response I get from candidates is that is my personal account. I understand that's your personal account, but understand is you will become the face of that company.
And it speaks to who you are in reality.
And it speaks to who you are. Build your brand before that interview. Know who you are. When I say also build your brand and your social media, I'm not saying make your life private, but be more cautious at who you are in your life and how you present your life. But then also building your brand means building your network. Your network means do not be afraid of LinkedIn. LinkedIn will get you a lot of places. Do not be afraid of networking events. If a coworker or a peer or a friend says, hey, I have this networking event to go to, make it a point to show up to that. Make it a point to go, right? And then lastly, know your reputation.
Yes.
Know your reputation, because it's not about how you enter a room. It's about how you leave and what people say after you've gone.
Girl, you can preach. You could take a text on that one right there.
Know that, because how you show up for an interview matters, but how you leave that interview and the impression you left on them and what they say about you. Because at the end of the interview, what do they say? Well, we're going to talk. We'll provide feedback. We'll let you know. The next steps is if you pass this interview, we'll move you on. What impression did you give, and what are they going to say about you once you hang up that phone and or get off of that video call?
Absolutely. Guys, amazing insight from Chan. We really appreciate you for being on the CEO Mindset Podcast today. This is going to be so helpful to not only new graduates who want to enter the corporate space, but also people who feel stuck, who feel like they aren't able to like climb or grow in their respective fields. Just even entrepreneurs, I think understanding that idea of emotional intelligence, reading the room, showing up as your best self, knowing what that is valuable information for all across the board. So thank you so much for being on the show. Guys, listen, if you have not subscribed to the CEO Mindset Podcast, you're missing out, because over here, we are constantly evolving and being open to failing forward. It is important to let those failures inform our next attempt, because that is how we grow. That is how we reach our goals and succeed in our spaces. Thank you again to Chan for being on the podcast today, and I will be back again next week. Bye, guys.
Thank you.